Welcome to the branding blog, branding pod blogcast. Yeah, welcome to Branding Blog Radio. It's the Branding Blog Podcast, and I am joined by one of my favorite guests, Craig Arthur, all the way from Townsville, Australia. G'day, Craig. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Dave.
I got my little Aussieism in for the day. G'day.
Yes,
it's not a very impressive one because it's the one that everybody knows here.
Yes, and after 11 years, it's still not right. But anyway, we'll move on.
It's not right. Wait, how is it not right?
G'day.
G'day. What did I say?
I
sort of said good day, didn't I?
Yes. So but anyway, you're getting there. Another 11 years and you should have it down pat. They'll probably let you in the country.
I think it's about time for me to take another trip.
I think it's been a couple of years.
It has. So on the podcast today, I thought, let's talk about... I was thinking business models or how to make an offer that's going to work, that's going to resonate with customers. So I know you haven't had much warning on this, and I haven't thought about it all that much, but I had a couple of examples that I thought might work, might be worth sharing, because sometimes when something's just not selling, it's not because it's a bad product. It's because of how you've packaged it up and presented it. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I did something, and I won't use an example and I'll let you talk, but my wife's an accountant, and I put a proposal to her in two different ways. One, she just looked at me blankly. The other said, yeah, that makes sense. It's great. It was exactly the same thing, just said in a different way and just packaged differently. So, yeah.
So specifically, I mean, what was that like?
As I said, just the actual specifics of what I was talking about. I was just explaining how it's a bit like it was really to do with our business and how growth, you know, our fees are based on growth. Mm-hmm. And she was struggling with the, well, why should I just pay you, you know, percentage growth? Like I had a fee and it was percentage growth. And I said, well, okay, what about if you give me, you know, say, a small percentage, 1% of $1 million. Would you be happy to give me $10,000 a year if I grew your business by $1 million? And she said, yeah, wow, of course I would. That made sense to her. But when I told her, well, you know, if my fee had doubled, it just wasn't resonating with her. But when she looked at $10,000 for a return of $1 million, she went, yeah, wow. So,
Have to pay the $10,000 if you turn the million.
That's it. So, but the other way, basically, it was exactly the same thing. But in her mind, she could see $1 million for 10,000. Yeah, that's a good deal. The other way was going to get me that extra 10,000 a year anyway. But it just didn't hit with her. So I guess what you're really looking at is, I think Roy, you know, our partner Roy Williams said once, you can have two offers and they both work in different ways because what seems like a good offer to one person is complete opposite to the other.
Sure.
So there's always the, you know, that duality thing happened there, but I think there's some cases where it definitely works better presented in a different way. And
it seems like the key is putting it in a manner that makes sense to the customer as opposed to making sense to the business owner.
Definitely.
So
and it really comes down to that's what it always should be, shouldn't it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's an old story. I didn't bother to look it up because I know it's been around. It's been around for at least 25 years. I mean, I know I've heard it years and years ago, and it's the old story that you hear it every time you're in a sales conference, a sales training, anything like that. It's that nobody wants to buy a drill. What you want is a quarter-inch hole in your wall. But sometimes that requires buying a drill. So, you know, it's how you couch it, how you phrase the offer, and how you do your selling to get people to buy the drill is to sell the end result. I'll give you another example. And I know you've been working with a solar energy company, and
yep.
I think the interesting thing about solar is the companies that sell it are they have a complex job to do, right? Because they've got to convince you that you need to put thousands of dollars worth of equipment on your roof and pay for it so that you can get free energy and, you know, not have to pay as much down the road to your electric utility.
Hmm.
And that seems to be a kind of a big hurdle for people to overcome. It's like, oh, but I gotta come up with either cash or I've got to get into some kind of a financing scheme so that I can put this up and get my free electricity, which we know isn't free because you have the cost of the equipment to consider. And that seems to be a pretty big hurdle for most people. Would you agree with that? I mean, is that...
You need somebody who can understand it. It's the old, it's that marshmallow test that they did years ago with little kids. You know, if you can hang off and not touch the marshmallow now, and you can have two when I come back into the room. And, you know, a lot of kids just couldn't wait and just had to eat the marshmallow. It takes someone with a lot of vision to understand that, you know, in this day of instant gratification, that people want a return now, that you're forking out a lot of money for the return later.
Yeah, and so,
which, as you said, is a hard sell.
And so you and I had been talking about that, and then, I don't know, about a month ago, I heard a radio ad, and it couldn't have been, I mean, it may have been even a 30, but it might have been a 60-second radio ad. So to me, and this was a solar panel company, and their offer made complete sense in under a minute. I understood it. I understood the benefits. And it was really kind of the same thing. They just repackaged it differently. So what they were doing, instead of saying, hey, why don't you buy all your solar panels from us and pay us to come install them on your roof, and then you'll have free electricity, they were saying, tell you what, we will come to your house. We will install free solar panels. You won't pay anything for the solar panels or the installation. But then we're going to sell you electricity off of those panels for about half of what your utility charges you for that same power. And then all of a sudden that made sense. You go, okay, well, these guys are taking all the risk. I get electricity when the sun's shining at half the price that I'm paying today. That makes sense. I can do that right now. You know, now my only decision is, do I want those things on my roof or not?
Basically, they were taking the, they're investing. The company was more or less investing, so they'd need a fairly substantial backing, basically.
I suppose they'd need that. Somebody's going to need it anyway, right? There's not very many people that are going to come out with the cash to put that on their roof, so they're going to have to finance it one way or the other, and, I would imagine that, I mean, I don't know what all the details are, but the offer made sense.
Hmm.
You know, maybe that company's going to put a lien on your home. I don't know, because, you know, they've got their equipment attached to your roof.
Yeah.
And obviously there's probably a bank somewhere that's funding them. But it's made it simple. It's made it simple for the consumer to grasp, and I think made it easier for them to say yes. I mean, certainly there's going to be paperwork. There's going to be some kind of a legal agreement on who owns the equipment, on how it's amortized, how it's paid for. But the consumer, at least up front, doesn't have to worry about that. They just go, oh, I could get electricity for half of what I'm paying now. Makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's, again, it's the same product. It's just a different offer. And it's one that makes sense to the consumer. I guess,
didn't they do that with cars? Instead of it's $20,000, didn't they start going down to it's only, you know, so much a month?
Yeah, well, that's absolutely right. You sell the payment, not the car.
Mm.
So yeah. you sit somebody down and figure out how much they can afford in a monthly payment, and then back the car into that, depending on what kind of car it is and what kind of terms you can put together.
It looks a lot less.
It feels a lot less. I guess sometimes putting these things together, it's sort of like the lottery. You know, the lottery is just a tax on people that are bad at math. Not everybody's going to stop to put pencil to paper and figure out the true value, whether this value of having the solar company own the panels and just having them installed on my roof and I'm buying electricity from them, or I own the panels and I get the electricity for free. not very many of us are going to stop and actually do the math and figure out which is the better deal. And I'm not sure you could. I mean, you probably could. Well, certainly the electric company knows which is the better deal.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they want to sell those things too.
No, yeah, no, if you want solar, it just makes it so much more accessible. And it's like, yeah, okay, it makes, as you said, it takes away the fear, the upfront pain.
Mm-hmm.
And you're paying for it over time. But yeah, you've just taken away all that, all the negatives.
Yeah, especially the upfront negatives, the how do I get started kind of thing. And so you piqued someone's interest. Now they're interested at least. And there may be some fine print that scares some people away, but at least you got them to think about it more so than, hey, why don't you chunk down a big wad of cash and we'll come put these big panels on your house for you. Because that's a little harder pill to swallow up front. So I think, you know, if you can make the deal easier to swallow up front, whether that's a monthly car payment, whether that's putting the panels on somebody's roof for free, I think that makes a lot of sense. Cell phone companies do it all the time. You know, I don't know anybody that paid full price for an iPhone. You know, you don't do that. What you do is you buy a plan from AT&T or Verizon, at least here, and you get the phone for several hundred dollars less than they charge for retail. And it doesn't matter what phone you do that with. You know, most companies, once you've been on contract with them for a couple of years, you're eligible for a new phone at a discount. And so that what they do is they keep you in a new phone. And you pay for that over time, just in an increase in the contract. You know, they know they're making it up on the back end of the contract deal on a cell phone.
Yeah, so people are no longer buying phones; they're buying plans.
They're buying phones. Plans, and that plan comes with these features on a phone, or comes with an iPhone.
Then if you look at products, you're talking about Cabela's to me earlier.
Yeah, that's a real interesting one, and it's a twist in the offer that got that company started. If you're familiar with Cabela's, they're a big outdoor hunting and fishing catalog here in the U.S. They grew through the 60s and 70s through mail order, and then in the 90s started building these big destination retail stores. So they've kind of evolved from being a little flyer mail order company all the way to being a publicly traded multi-billion-dollar-a-year retailer. Both a multi-channel retailer, so they sell loads of stuff online, they sell loads of stuff in their retail stores, and they still do great business in mail order. But the interesting thing is how they got started. They were in a little town 30 miles from where I live here, a little town called Chapel, Nebraska. They've since moved to their headquarters here to Sydney, Nebraska. But their dad, two brothers, Jim and Dick Cabela, and their dad was in the furniture business in Chapel. And on a buying trip, I think the story goes, it was a buying trip to Chicago. They were, you know, they were in the city buying merchandise, and they came across a deal of, I don't know how many, it might have been 1,000 hand-tied Chinese fishing flies. And they got them for a steal. And so they brought those home, and here they are, a furniture store, and they're, one of these sons is trying to figure out a way to sell these hand-tied fishing flies. And so he took out an ad in an outdoor magazine in Wyoming. And the ad, I believe the ad read, 12 hand-tied fishing flies for $1, free postage and handling. And the ad bombed. Nobody bought any. Most of us would probably give up and say, well, I guess the public doesn't want hand-tied fishing flies. I messed up. I shouldn't have bought those. Instead, he just changed the offer. He wrote another ad and ran it in that magazine that said, 12 free hand-tied fishing flies. Send $1 for postage and handling. And they sold them out in a couple weeks. And he kind of got the bug there and decided that that was kind of fun. So he just kept doing it, and they grew it from that over the course of 40 years into a multi-billion-dollar enterprise. But it was just a matter of changing the offer. And it was the exact same offer. It was 12 flies for a dollar either way. But when you made it 12 free flies, you know, because you know that you got to send postage and handling. I guess in your mind, you know, everybody knows there's no such thing as free postage.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just goes to show that if he hadn't have trialed it a different way, Cabela's probably wouldn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess really what you're looking at is, yes, trialing these different options for people. That one is just, you know, just sort of blows you away. One got everything and the other didn't. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly the same. I guess I don't know what it's like in the States, but here in Australia, something I find funny is people are trying to sell stuff in, you know, furniture stores and electrical. And it started off, you know, so many months interest free, and then it, you know, 4 months, 6 months, 24 months, and you see ads, you know, don't pay anything until 2016 or something. And you think, gee, you know, there's people buy, you know, some of those things to me are you're buying something now and on the premise that, you know, three or four years time, you can start paying for it. And it's eventually it's all going to catch up with everybody and there's no money and no everyone's got all this stuff.
I think that's probably the problem with the economic collapse we've seen.
The GFC, because all of a sudden now the thing that you bought's no longer worth anything. Now you have to start paying for it. And so all it's doing is just stretching this out for this. Yeah, it's just.
Yeah, I think, you know, those kind of things are never a good deal, are they?
No, and then they're just massive, you know. It's always the catch. The minute you're a month over, you're like you're paying at massive interest rates, and there's just people getting caught out, and it's a bad deal. So to me, things like that sucker people in. But you know, a dollar, if you're going to get 12 fishing flies for a dollar, whichever way you go, to me that's a smart deal. He's just looked at it in a different way. There's nothing sinister about it.
Yeah, you know, does Amazon Prime work for you in Australia? Do you have anything similar to that? Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
No, so obviously I don't.
So Amazon here has, I think it's $71 a year, something like that. And I'm not looking at Amazon.com. And I don't have it right now. I keep thinking about getting it, and I have friends that have it. And What it provides is you pay them like $71 annually, and then everything you buy from Amazon is free shipping. And I think it's free second day, because you can get their free shipping right now if you put enough in your cart, but it's standard UPS. So Amazon Prime, I believe, gets you free second day shipping on everything you buy. So Amazon knows, first of all, once you pay the $70, you feel obligated to probably buy at least as much stuff as it would cost to ship. At least, you know, to make your money back, you feel like you've got to buy enough stuff that you're gonna get $70 worth of shipping over the course of a year. So it probably increases the number of orders. Well, certainly it does, and I think it probably just makes you more confident about just popping something into your cart and saying, "Send it to me." Large or small, because you get that free shipping.
Yeah, well, again, it's like, isn't it Sam's Club and all of those where you pay a membership fee?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know whether it was in Australia or the States. I read that, you know, it was just this big seller to join this club. But, so, yeah, they're just still selling the same products as other stores, but they've just gone about it in a different way. So I guess it pays for anyone to study those things before they, you know, you can experiment yourself, and we're, our firm's big believer in doing lots of experiments and A/B testing and, but it's probably wise to sit down and, you know, we've touched on a few, but to really study these things before you start putting things out there, see what other people have done, what's worked, what hasn't.
And test different offers, and especially if you're selling anything online, that's become a lot easier. But I think even in a retail environment, testing offers, testing the way you display things, the way you explain them in your collateral materials, the way you present them in a print ad, in a radio ad, it makes a difference. And you need to just keep trying different things and always go back to whatever's worked the best for you.
I think, yeah, definitely. And I think one of the things I found, what seems common sense, what seems the logical thing to do is normally the worst.
Sometimes it is. Well, yeah, a good example is those buy it now and don't pay for it till, you know, 2014.
Yeah, but I mean, even Cabela's, the natural thing for him was, it just seemed, you know, free shipping, you pay for a dollar, but that just seemed the normal thing to do, which was, logical, but then he flipped it the other way. So, yeah, sometimes it's like everything you think's going to work normally doesn't. It's mm-hmm. I don't know, human nature. We're dealing with people. We're a hard thing to figure out. So, but is there any other examples, Dave, that you can?
I don't have any specific. I mean, I'm working with a couple of companies. One is I don't know that I can really talk about this one, but it's basically taking something, it's a product that people have traditionally paid several thousand dollars for. And, he's looking at making, modeling it after the cell phone companies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you pay several thousand dollars for it and you're going to have to buy, you're going to have to replace it in 5 years or so, put them on a contract so that they're paying for it every month, and offer them a new product every couple of years. You know, I mean, basically trying to model it the same way. And in his industry, that's not being done right now. So I think that can make a difference. I think things like that. If you've got a service and a product, and you've been selling the service and bundling it in with the product, look at it in different ways. See if you can find something that's going to resonate with your customers better than what you're doing now.
And I guess really, one that's sitting in the room with us that we haven't mentioned, it's a bit like Roy when he started our firm, Wizard of Ads. He took the standard business model of agencies that looked at, you know, just a percentage of your, if we booked media for you, it was 10% Australia, I think it's 15%
yeah,
in the States.
Yeah, you pay an agency, the agency commission.
Yeah, and then it's like lawyers and accountants, it's, an hourly rate. So the only way they can grow basically is to bill you more hours, or put on more staff and bill more hours. Roy flipped that and looked at it and tied it to growth, charged less at the beginning, knowing that if we look for little companies that could grow, they're going to be paying us more down the track. But initially, you know, it's more affordable to get us on board. Plus, we're tied to the success of the company. So he sort of changed that whole business model around, and that's where we've had our biggest successes with different clients in our firm, is changing business models. And mm-hmm. I guess that's what you're talking about, and just looking at it and coming at it from a different way. And all of a sudden, it's a lot more friendly to the small business owner that we deal with, that if they can pay less for services that, you know, normally they couldn't afford, but we're looking at down the track, our payoffs down the track. We're investing our time
up front,
our expertise up front, exactly the same as, and this is where the beauty when you look at business models and universal principles, is that almost identical to the solar guy who's investing he's investing resources and money up front. We're
sure.
investing time for the payoff down the end.
Well, I think you could,
thing.
You know, as we price our services, I've always looked at it as, we try to be comparable to what somebody would pay an agency if they had one, if they could afford one, if there was an agency in their town that they felt could give them the attention that they need. Most of the clients that we look at, as you know, are a little bit too small to take on a traditional ad agency at the beginning. And so our strategy has always been, let's make sure that we're priced similarly to an agency based on an ad budget in today's dollars, even though that's not how we charge, we know that as they grow, their ad budget will grow. So if we were an agency and grew them along the same lines, they would probably still be paying those same increased fees as the growth happens, because their ad budget would be growing. But the key difference, Craig, and that you brought this up, is that the way we do it, since we don't charge that commission, is we're never in a position to solely recommend that they increase their ad budget just so that we can make a buck.
Mm.
And that's, I think, one of the pitfalls in the traditional in a small business getting involved with a traditional agency. Sometimes they see their only way of getting a raise as doing a lot more busy work that they can charge hourly for, and doing, raising the ad budget so that they can get a larger commission in the media buy.
So it's identical there. Roy came into the industry and looked at how can I do this in a different way. And I guess when you look at, someone like Richard Branson with Virgin, he goes into established industries and looks at how he can do it in a different way, mm-hmm. especially the ones that are the stick in the mud, it's always been done this way, slow moving categories, and he comes in and just flips it. So, I think that, as you said, Cabela's grew on that, Branson has done that. The only way you can really break ahead of the herd, do things differently, is come up with this, whatever you want to call it, different business model, different way to price things. But that it really, in a category, when you're looking at, you're selling the same thing, is the way that's going to, catapult you forward faster.
Mm-hmm. I think the lesson here, to kind of wrap things up, the lesson for the business owner is treat it like a Rubik's Cube and figure out different combinations, different ways of presenting it, different ways of writing about it, different ways of financing it, different ways of just looking at it through the eyes of a consumer to figure out what's going to resonate best with your customers. And if you can't do that, you need to grab some outside help. And I think that's I think that's key. I think that's sometimes the most valuable thing that we bring to a client's business is a set of outside eyes.
Definitely.
And some experience in other industries. Usually innovation happens from stealing ideas from businesses that aren't in your category. If you're a car dealer and all you're doing is getting ideas from other car dealers, innovation's not going to happen. The innovative car dealer is going to be the one that stole an idea from another industry. And so that's what I'm trying to do with this other company that we mentioned, and I think it's the most fun thing to help a business with.
Yeah,
and I'm in this business for the fun.
Yeah, well, me too. Really, when you look at that, the fun side of it is, and working with people who have the courage to actually do what everyone else is scared to do. Mm-hmm. And I think, as you said, if you say to an established business group or people and submit a whole heap of different ideas, the ones that are scary, the ones they say, oh, but no one's ever done that and that can't be done, they're the ones you start to, I think, spend a bit more time looking at, because it frightens other people in the category.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be done. It's just too hard. What you find that when you look back in the past, it's become the norm in a lot of industries now, but someone had to do that initially and then they've all adopted it. To take any business to start to look at those things, business models and pricing and how you can wrap things up, in a different way. It's probably a good blog post for you to do, Dave, too. You have a look at some, and I'll do the same and have a look at some other examples.
I'll wait for you to write it, Craig.
Yes, okay.
I like you, podcasting.
Okay, can you find some more and then we'll talk about it?
Sure, we'll talk about it. Hey, thank you so much, Craig, for staying up late. It's always a little bit of a challenge just getting on the Skype with each other, because if it's a nice friendly hour here, it's a miserable hour for you to be online and vice versa. So I got up early. You stayed up late.
Yes, it's almost 11, though, and I was up at 2 o'clock this morning, so it's been a big day.
What a way to come back from holiday.
Yeah, I've caught up all of a sudden. That whole week has been used up.
All of a sudden, you need another holiday.
That's it. All right, mate. Been great talking to you.
Good talking to you, Craig. And thank you for participating in another Branding Blog podcast. Look forward to talking to you again soon. You've been listening to the Branding Blog radio podcast here on brandingblog.com. I'm Dave Young.